Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Monday, March 2nd, 7:44 Central Time. It is time to check in with Dr. Bob Weiss at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, good morning to you and your listeners.
Thank you.
Maybe we're shifting into spring here. Andy, what do you think?
I'll tell you this afternoon. We'll see. We'll see if it warms up a little here. Well, how are you this week?
Well, I'm doing okay. You know, just one more week. I've got, I finished my income tax for my mother and myself, so I'm going to...
Oh, good. So you can do mine now.
Oh, I tell you, 3 days, almost 3.5 days of blood, sweat, and tears. But by the grace of God, you get through all of that. And then, so this week, I grade papers and get ready for class starting next Monday. So, you know, life goes on, thanks to the Lord, and every day is good with Christ. So,
amen.
So what I have here for our listeners, maybe I'll let you pick one of these out, but I have several topics here that I've been following in what's called the Journal of Medical Ethics. And so that your listeners understand that I do read a journal. There's not too many journals out there that deal with quote-unquote Christian ethics. For some people, that term is a... some people don't care for that term because when you're dealing with Christian, Christ... and ethics is a law-based term, and of course Christ is the one who brings law and gospel. But here are several, four topics. Some can be dealt with very, very quickly. This is what's going on in the news, folks. A British mother wants to give birth to the child of her deceased daughter. She died of cancer, and she had some of her eggs stored. This is over in England. And the kicker of all of this is, of course, that the English courts won't do this because, yes, she did give consent to have her eggs frozen, but she did not give consent that they become involved in in vitro fertilization. So since it didn't work in England, guess where they're going to FedEx the eggs? Over here to good old Archie Bunker, U.S. of A. And because there's already one clinic that said they would do it, and it's going to cost in American money about $120,000. And so because she wants to make sure that her daughter, at least, quote-unquote, part of her daughter genetically, because they'll have to use donor sperm. So this goes back, once again, to this issue of no regulations in the United States regarding the baby-making industry and the commodification of human beings. And from our viewpoint, this will tap into a last one I'm bringing up here, is the importance of going back to the basics of that we talk about here all the time, and you do on a lot of His Time, is creation, mm-hmm. marriage, procreation, and especially the incarnation and what that means and how that involves us in our daily lives, especially as we're approaching through Lent and Holy Week, and then, of course, the Easter morn and resurrection. And the other one is, we mentioned this last week about surrogacy in Thailand. They have outlawed people coming into Thailand using their surrogates. Not that some people who are listening to this may say, well, that's no big deal, it doesn't impact me, but surrogacy is a worldwide issue. And more people, and I can say that because more and more simply means that the percentages are moving from about 20 to 30% of couples are using surrogates so that the wife can go out and do what she wants to do, but we're going to have our quote-unquote sperm and our egg in a petri dish in vitro and put it into somebody else's womb. We're willing to pay them anywhere from $60,000 to over $100,000 so that I can keep doing my thing for 9 months or so. And so that's still a huge industry here in the United States. The third one is this whole issue of cryonics. They're starting to push this again. This is freezing whole people, brains and so forth. Like they did this with several baseball players, several prominent people, several animals. Right now, my research says they've frozen 80 people and 30 pets. Now, the point of this, of bringing this up here on His Time, is just to, once again, to inform people, because if we do believe, and I know this is one of the great things about His Time, is that people need to be informed on what's going out in the world so that they can give account of what they believe. This is back to 1 Peter's text in Christ, and they may say, well, I don't know anything about cryonics. This is, of course, the freezing of human beings that have died, so that eventually some people think that they can bring them back. Now, this may be part of the science fiction scenario, but clearly there are people that are pushing this. And once again, this is back to the whole issue of not dealing with, from our biblical viewpoint and our anthropology, what we believe, teach, and confess about our origin in Christ, is the whole issue of sin, and that death is the result of sin. Death may be perceived by people in our world as very natural because we see it all the time. We pass through cemeteries, we visit cemeteries, and we look at those mm-hmm. who have died in Christ and say, well, that was all natural. But of course, biblically, we know that this is all the result of original sin. Go back and read Genesis. And the last one that really taps into all of these three, Andy, is the question, does Christianity, that is, from our viewpoint, within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, what we believe, teach, and confess, have a role in what is called, you know, bioethical decision-making. Bioethics, certainly for your listeners, means, bio means life, and ethics, what is right and wrong for moral conduct and judgment. Now, I know that's a law statement, but living the life of Christ in this world, we are tempted every day to make decisions that go against, quote-unquote, what we have for holy living, the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Especially adultery, bearing false witness, not worshiping on Sunday, and so forth. So here you have in the Journal of Medical Ethics, once again, this whole issue of well, what contributions do, with our context, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod makes for Christianity? And I think we certainly do in terms of our life committees, what the president has put forward on gay marriage and so forth, homosexuality, and those types of things. You know, euthanasia, assisted suicide, because they all violate the Word of God in Christ. So I think that those are the things that are happening. And once again, what I tell people when they're looking at this in terms of does what we believe, teach, and confess have a role in bioethics? Of course, it does, because clearly our view of what society would say is human dignity and the love for truth is all embedded in Christ and his incarnation, his death, and his resurrection. So I do believe that we have things to contribute, even though some people would say, no, 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 this is just philosophy. This is just a study of wisdom and not Christianity and so forth. But I would say, I would say to agnostic, I will have to show you that your view is not in accordance with what I speak in terms of the Word of God, and that you cannot, quote-unquote, I would definitely say, adequately repair your terms, but that certainly in Christ I can from my viewpoint. So this is the same thing that Paul went through at Mars Hill. So those are several of the topics,
yeah,
once again, to lay before those who are listening, so just to get them to think and pray and go back into the Scriptures and back to the basics.
Well, I think the second story, the Frozen Chosen there.
that's a good one.
That's quite interesting. I mean, they're all very interesting topics. Let's go back to the cryogenics.
Yeah, this is kind of like the ice age cometh.
Yeah.
I
know that this is a choice that some people want to make, to have their remains frozen, cryogenically mm-hmm. frozen, with hopes that they would be revived again somewhere down the road. That's kind of, well, are we playing God when we want to do, you know, when we start making choices like that?
Well, unquestionably, and this is actually happening. And people can go to this on the website. It's an Arizona company called Alcor, A-L-C-O-R. They have cryopreserved about 80 people and 30 pets, as I mentioned earlier. And this whole issue of playing God, here we go again. I'm glad you brought this up. And not this is not difficult for us to go into the Scriptures and the confessions to say, well, what does God have to say about this kind of thing? Well, he doesn't say anything about cryonics, about freezing people. And people say, well, see, there you go. So now it's an adiaphron, that it's neither forbidden nor commanded by God, so we can do with it what we want. But not, as you know, and you've talked about this, on this, they're not all the same. So we have to go, here we go, repeat myself, back to the basics. And Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, where Satan is allowed to enter the Garden of Eden, and he says to Eve, did God really say that when you eat this fruit, you're surely not going to die, and your eyes will be open, and you will be like, quote-unquote, God, knowers, and I emphasize the word knowers, not knowing, but a knower is one who participates in the divinity of God, a knower of knowers of good and evil. And there you have, so now one has to participate in, yes, playing God, building your own Tower of Babel, so that you can control yourself and believe that someplace along the line they're going to find out how to bring you back, revive you, cure you of your disease so you can live forever. And so this whole issue of seeking immortality, even through cryonics here, freezing yourself, and I can't think, I think the one base, is it Teddy? I can't, Matthews, I can't think of the fellow's name, great baseball player, not, I think about 15, 20 years ago, he was frozen. And so what's bizarre about this is that people actually believe this, and they believe that within, probably a generation, 20 to 30 years, this is going to happen. I personally don't think so, because it's a very difficult procedure, and I don't want to get into that. But you are correct. They are playing God. They are trying to usurp the powers of God. Even if they're an atheist or an agnostic, they're going to still use that phrase. You know, I'm seeking to control my own destiny. You see, and so they believe that when they die, they can kill themselves any way they want or die naturally, as we would say, and then know, I don't know how they would know this, they would be deceased, that eventually somebody's going to bring them back. And some people would say, why would you want to come back into this world? So you are correct. This is something that now is raising, it's kind of like a Medusa, it's raising its ugly head up again. And even though it's still decades away, they're looking at huge potentials, and not just for people, but for a lot of other technologies, to revivify, reanimate people. And even, I don't want to get too gross here, but arms and legs and other types of things. So this is something, once again, all of these wonderful issues here, Andy. And I guess I haven't thought much about this before, but when you talk about the phrase, his time, we have to go back to his time into the scripture and once again address these issues with the basics that we are well aware of and fit this science of cryonics, of freezing people, of making babies and test tubes and so forth into the scriptures. And as I said before, as Pastor Luther said, if it doesn't fit, no matter what you believe, teach, or confess, and there is a fit, this isn't a gray zone, then it is not science. From the standpoint of biblical creation, redemption, and sanctification, and then must be discarded. But to be informed about this so one can discuss it is also very important. So we don't want to keep ourselves living in a box, but we also want to make sure that we are thinking theologically.
Absolutely. Always considering what's going on in the world around us in light of God's Word.
Oh, unquestionably, yeah. That's a good way to sum that up. We have to understand that, and we have to know what's going on in light of God's Word, because He is the light, not the darkness.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Dr. Weiss. Thanks so much for taking some time to talk with us this morning. Look forward to talking with you again in the future.
My pleasure to you and your listeners.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, sir. God's blessings. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our study of the daily New Testament reading. Today, we're going to study in Mark chapter 6, verses 14 through 34 with Pastor James Kroonblad from Trinity Lone Oak Lutheran Church in Eagan, Minnesota. Hope you can join us for that and all the other great stuff that makes up His Time as well. We'll have some sacred music and morning prayer later on this morning as well. Stick around for more His Time right after this break, right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.